This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Social enterprises are business ventures operated by nonprofit societies, charities, or cooperatives. The businesses sell goods or provide services in the market for the purpose of creating a blended return on investment, both financial and social. Their profits are returned to the business or to a social purpose, rather than maximizing profits to shareholders. Today, we take a closer look at social enterprises, the people involved in them, and the benefits and challenges.
We're joined on the phone by Michelle Chereau of the Right Stuff Program in Trail, British Columbia, and in the studio by Jim Eagles, a volunteer from Literacy Central Vancouver Island. Welcome to People First Radio, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Millions of Canadians struggle with literacy challenges, yet literacy is seen as the foundation of most every essential skill needed for work, learning, and living. Tell us about the need for literacy.
The key issue is that there are about 2 million Canadians who have severe literacy issues, and they are hindering those people from finding, for example, finding good employment. That's the key issue right there. And secondly, it affects people in medical areas. They've found recent statistics are showing that people with poor literacy skills actually have poorer health. And those practical issues, like what, you know, literacy is a very vague kind of an almost ethereal term, but it's where how it actually manifests itself in hurting people.
And there seems to be an uptick or an increase in interest in literacy services and a mm-hmm. growing awareness of the importance of literacy. Is that the case?
Yeah, I would say so, although I think we have a long way to go. It's it's almost as if we assume, most of us who aren't, you know, in the industry, so to speak, assume that everybody in Canada has a high degree of literacy. And the fact is that there's a couple million people who don't. And but, yeah, it is improving, but it still, I'd say, has a heck of a long way to go.
Michelle Chereau, a number of years ago in the city of Trail, British Columbia, where you're located right now, employment counselors were seeing a large number of young people who didn't fit or meet the criteria for any funding programs, but who desperately needed training and employment supports. Tell us more about the needs of youth in Trail and area.
Well, if we're going back to when we started this social enterprise 9 years ago, it was just a group of youth that they didn't fit into the programs, as you say. So there was an opportunity. I was introducing the concept of social enterprise to a group of individuals here, and the publisher of the paper was really intrigued with the idea of being able to have a service done, the collating service for her newspaper, which is putting the flyers into the newspapers, and being able to as well have a society or an additional value, a social value added to that work by hiring individuals who typically weren't getting employed.
Jim, back to you. Literacy Nanaimo, now called Literacy Central Vancouver Island, was incorporated in March 1990 as a community-based nonprofit registered charity. Its purpose is to promote literacy for all individuals. Tell us more about the programs that Literacy offers and the organization's bookstore.
Yeah. We'll just start with the bookstore because it's the simplest element of the piece, and that is our social enterprise. We operate quite a large bookstore in downtown Nanaimo, where it's all staffed by volunteers, and the books are all donated, and a lot of it with the help of the Rotary. So we're able to offer used books at a very attractive price, which is great. And in fact, when I lived in Vancouver, I used to love coming over to Nanaimo, and I would come to this bookstore whenever I was around. So that's the enterprise side of it. That we're, because we have the free labor or volunteer labor, we're able to channel any profits to the literacy programs. The literacy programs are mostly one-on-one tutoring. And what we have 95 trained tutors. We're trained by VIU. We have a partnership with VIU. And last year, we actually delivered 9,000 hours of one-to-one tutoring to people with literacy problems. So that's what we're trying to do, is bring them up to the point that will improve their ability to get a job, their ability to function in society. So that's basically, that's the key thing. There's lots of other elements as well, but that's the biggest one.
Michelle, that you mentioned earlier that The Right Stuff was developed in response to a need to provide collating and delivery services for the daily newspaper in the region. Tell us more about how The Right Stuff operates and what does it offer along with work experience?
Well, we're hired. We have a contract with the Trail Daily Times, and we have to bid on that every 2 to 3 years, depending on the length of the contract. So we're very much in the marketplace, and we are obligated to get that paper out every day. It's published Monday to Friday. So there's certainly challenges with that. We have to deliver that service. So with the youth that we hire, the people that we hire, they have the pressures of being able to deliver in you know, those parameters of getting the paper out every day. And we have mountain passes and some pretty crazy weather sometimes. But what we also do is we provide an environment, first of all, that is, you know, recognizes and is willing to work with and support some of the challenges they have in being employed. Many of them come to us, they've never been employed. Others have, you know, individual personal challenges where they don't learn as quickly. They may have issues in attendance, that sort of thing. We also help with training. So once they get settled into the job, if they're interested in taking, for example, computer training or learning first aid, learning to drive the forklift, you know, if the situation is right, we support them in doing that. And all these things can get added to their resumes. And the ultimate intention is that because we can only offer them part-time work because of the nature of the job, is the intent is when they are ready, they can move on to fuller, less supported employment.
This is People First Radio on CHOY, across the islands and streaming online at CHOY.ca.
For nonprofits and charities, operating an enterprise is nothing new. Museums and art galleries have operated gift shops as a way to generate revenue to support their exhibits and promote art. Service organizations such as the YMCA and YWCA have used fee-based programs to support their charitable activities. And many nonprofit social service or relief agencies have operated thrift stores as a means of generating revenue for their activities and providing low-cost goods to their clients. Larger numbers of nonprofits and charitable organizations are becoming involved with social enterprises, and they generally have three reasons for doing it. According to the organization Enterprising Nonprofits, the first is to fill a need that the market will never meet on its own, such as employment for marginalized communities. The second is to provide an opportunity to advance the organization's mission, particularly in areas of cultural and environmental activities. And the third is to enhance the organization's financial sustainability through the generation of profits that flow to a social purpose. We're joined on the phone by Michelle Chereau of the Right Stuff program in Trail, British Columbia, and in the studio by Jim Eagles, a volunteer at Literacy Central Vancouver Island in Nanaimo, British Columbia.
Michelle Chereau, the setup cost for the Right Stuff was around $20,000. The business operated at a loss for the first 6 months, but since then it's been very successful. What are some of the challenges that the enterprise has experienced along the way?
Well, aside from the operations itself, getting the paper out every day, the challenges are, and it's embedded in social enterprise, is you have to, if you have multiple goals, you're often, there's a tension between the decisions you have to make. So sometimes you make a decision based on a social goal, and other times you make a decision based on a financial goal. And they're not necessarily compatible, but you have to put yourself in that balance. So an example being is, a particular individual worker may not be working up to speed. So we'll look at that situation, and this is after they've been with us some time and had the opportunity to learn, is, do we keep that person on and continue to try to support them, or do we have to make a tough business decision and let them go? And, those are the kind of difficult situations we found ourselves in over the years.
Jim Eagles, Literacy Central Vancouver Island's goal in 1991, its first year, was to open a highly visible and easily accessed office where people with low reading, writing, or numeracy skills could upgrade their skills. The organization used fundraising, donations from community service organizations, and a grant from Canada Employment to do that. How does the social enterprise, which is called Well Read Books, fit into the organization's funding arrangements? And what have some of the challenges been for Well Read Books over the years?
Actually, because we have, we started, as you point out, quite a long time ago, we really have a pretty smooth model now, and we really are much less dependent on either federal or provincial funding. So when I'm thinking about some of the other organizations that I volunteer for who are largely government funded, they have periodic crises where either the funding has disappeared or it's uncertain or it's late, and it causes huge disruptions in those organizations. We are actually very lucky at Well Read Books, Literacy Central Vancouver Island, because we do have a nice, beautiful, steady flow of revenue from the bookstore. And in fact, that's something I'm working on a lot myself right now. Being a marketing person, I'm working on improving the activities of the bookstore. And really, although we do get funding from the government, we just don't have that same degree of worry about timing and are we going to get it this year or not, and those sorts of things. We really don't have those sorts of challenges. Our biggest challenge right now actually is to find additional TESOL trained tutors, because we've taken on some additional work in helping the literacy of English as a second language students. And that's our biggest challenge right now, is finding additional TESOL. We have some training coming up. If anybody out there knows of a TESOL trained person, give us a call.
Michelle, if we just look at, let's say, the social enterprise over the years that you've been involved with it, what are some of the key successes you've seen and the changes that have occurred for people who are involved with it?
Well, we look at, we have a success rate. We measure what we call success is when the individuals move on to less supportive, more full-time employment, or if they move on to full-time training. Our success rate is around 70% of all the people, so that's one indicator. Another one is we look at how they function in the community. So one thing we encourage is volunteer work on their part. Not only does it make them more aware of what's going on in their community, but it gets them in touch. It starts them to network, which is something they haven't incorporated into their lives. And we've actually seen individuals, as a result of their volunteer work, get full-time employment. We look at the training they take, whatever they need, so their skills are upgraded. And we also see a general sense of well-being and self-confidence and self-esteem improve. We don't necessarily measure that, but again, the volunteer work is an indication that that has changed.
Jim Eagles, what have some of the successes been at Well Read Books and Literacy Central Vancouver Island?
Our biggest measure of success or productivity, I guess, is the number of trained tutors that we have available and the number of hours. So, as I say, I mentioned earlier that we delivered 9,000 hours of one-on-one tutoring last year, and that's is a record, and it has been going up steadily year by year. So that's our biggest measure of success. And we'll, with the new programs that we've got this year, with ESL, people with English as a second language, we're adding, that new element in, then we will be increasing again, once again, the level of activity that we're generating will increase.
I'd like to thank both of you, Jim and Michelle, for taking the time to join us today. It was much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Michelle Chereau is the director of the Right Stuff program in Trail, British Columbia. You can find the program online at communityskillscenter.com. Jim Eagles is a volunteer at Literacy Central Vancouver Island in Nanaimo, British Columbia. You can find the organization at their downtown Nanaimo bookstore, Well Read Books.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.